We're going to try tonight to understand a little bit about what the Mon was all about and what it represented. There's many other topics that come together with the topic of the Mon that I'm not going to get into tonight. It's a very, very big topic. But just we'll talk about one Prat tonight. One Klal tonight. The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says, "Ubnei Yisrael achlu," in this week's Parsha, "Ubnei Yisrael achlu es haman arboim shana." The Yidden ate the man for 40 years. "Ad boyam el eretz noishaves," until they came to a settled land, Eretz Yisrael. "Es haman achlu," the man they ate, "ad boyam el kitzei eretz Kenan," until they came to the edge of Eretz Kenan. Zok Rashi. Arboim shana, they ate it for 40 years. "Bahaloi chaser lamed yoim," I were 30 days short. "Sharei b'tesvav b'iyar yorad lohem haman," because the man only started falling a month after Yitzias Mitzrayim on Tesvav b'iyar, on Pesach Sheni. "U'b'tesvav b'nisan pasak," and it stopped on Tesvav b'nisan, as then he brings a raya. So in other words, the pasuk says that they ate the man for 40 years. For Ekter Ashi, and it's a Gemara in Kedushin, and Aflamet Ches, they only ate the month for 39 years and 11 months, not for 40 years. The Pasuk is exact. The Pasuk's not averaging out or saying a round number. The Pasuk is 100% exact. The Pasuk says they ate the month for 40 years. That means they ate the month for 40 years. But it's not true. They only ate the month for 39 years and 11 months. They were a month short of a month. And for Drashi, Vashem the Gemara, Elo Magid, only this teaches us, Sheha'uga is Sheha'itziu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, that the matzahs that Klal Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, Tohamu bohem tamon, they tasted in them the taste of man. In the matzah they tasted the tam of man. Reb Tzadik says in our matzah we're also still tayim the tam of man. So the obvious question is, so they tasted the taste of man, does that make the matzah into man? The pasuk says they ate man for 40 years. If two things taste the same, it makes them the same thing. Man was lechem and hashamayim, matzah is flour and water baked in an oven. It's two different things. So they tasted in the matzah, they tasted the tam of man. So what? Why does that mean that they ate man for 40 years? How do you want to understand it? Moshe instructed them not to leave any man over till the next day. Shamuel Moshe, and there are people that didn't listen to Moshe. Vayosiru anoshim imenu ad boiker, and people, Rashi says, Dasan and Aviram, left over from the man until the morning. Vayorum toilaim, and it became infested with worms. Vayivash, and it spoiled, it smelled bad. Vayiksoif aleya Moshe, and Moshe got angry at them. Now what happens first to something? It spoils or it gets wormy? What's the first thing that happens?
It spoils.
Zakrashi, Hareza Mikra Hafuch. This pasuk is switched around. It's in the wrong order. Shebitchila Hivish, first it spoiled. Well, Besayif Islia. And afterwards it got wormy. He brings a raya from later on. Zakrashi, he says, if the man would have become wormy, like regular derech hateva food becomes wormy, so then you could ask this kasha, usually it doesn't go this way, usually it spoils and then it gets wormy. He says, but The man wasn't a derech ateva food at all. And what was happening was a nes. Avol zesha hisli, as the Raman, this that it became wormy, v'derech nes, yitachin sheherim toiloyim tchila. It could be that the toiloyim came first. V'ein tzorech shenaha poicha mikra, and there's no need to switch around the pasuk. It's a funny kind of nes. Interesting nes Hashem made. Hashem made a nes that it should get wormy, and it should be different than regular food that gets spoiled. What's the difference? Either way, it's a nes. Either way, it's a message to Dasan and Avir. What's the point over here? What's the point that Hashem has to make a nes that things will spoil differently than regular food? The cheese and that I leave out spoils one way, and man spoils a different way. What's the point of that nes? According to Rashi, you could also ask that if so, that it spoiled first and then worms came, so why does the pasuk say it the other way around? Sai, according to Rashi, Sai, according to Rabban, you really have the same question. According to Rashi, that it happened kederach kol oichel. So the pasuk is fair. Why is the pasuk madgish first the worms? And according to the Ramban, that the worms actually came first, which is different. So what was the point of making it different? What's the point of making the man spoil differently than other foods? What will I be missing if it spoils the same as other foods? I'm not sure of the answer to this question, but at least I want to discuss it. Pasuk says, "Vayilketu oisei babayker babayker." And they collected it every single morning. Ish kefi achloi, each person according to the amount that they needed. V'cham ha-shemesh, and the sun heated up. V'namas, and it melted. The man melted. Why did the sun make the man melt? Was it like ice? Like, why did the sun? I've seen food in the sun, doesn't make it melt. Why does the sun make the man melt? It's a ruchni instinct of food. Hashem gives it whatever properties he wants. Hashem gives all food whatever properties he wants. But beprat man, there's no derech ha-teva physical properties that it needs at all. And yet the pasuk tells me that the teva of man is that when the sun heats up, it melts. What does that have to do with the sun? Tell me that it melts in the beginning of the day. It evaporates. What's the point that when the sun heats up, it melts? What's the point of that interaction with the sun?
What do you mean about that? It's spread out and it's
actually... I don't know. I wish I could say I...
Is it similar to snow? Like, it melts and...
I don't know.
Does the numbers come from the same shape as we use?
No. Okay. The pasuk says, I didn't write where the pasuk is, I'll tell you where it is. Perek Tez Zayin, pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, and Moshe said to Aaron, Kach tzinsenes achas, take one jar, one jug, v'sen shama maloiha oimer mon, and put in an oimer, a measurement of mon, v'hanach oisai lefnei Hashem, and put it in front of Hashem, Zogt Rashi, with the Aaron, put it, I think it's a shayla if it was in the Aron or next to the Aron, but put it together with the Aron HaKadosh. L'mishmeres, to watch, for a shmira. L'doyrei seichem, for generations. Now, the problem is that there was no Aron at this time. So, what was Moshe telling Aaron? So Rashi has this kasha. Rashi says, "V'leinemar mikra zeh atchenivne oil moyed." The truth is, this pasuk is out of order. After the oil moyed was built, that's when Moshe said this to Aaron. He couldn't say it to Aaron. Now there was no lefnei Hashem to put it. They just came out of Mitzrayim. They didn't have an oil moyed. They didn't have an Aaron. They didn't have a kodesh hakodashim. El shenichtav kan beparshas hamon. It's written here in the parsha of the man. So my question is why? The Torah wanted to keep things organized, so it took it out of order, the pasuk. In the Binyan HaMishkan, let it say, put the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and put the Mon inside. What's the point of telling me in the parasha of the month, telling me something that's out of order, really happened later, that the month should be put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's not relevant right now. It didn't happen now. It's not relevant. It's much out of order. It's the book's looking to fool you. It's not an Igeya over here.
You just saved the month.
What?
You kind of have to save it for later.
No, but it says Mikra Zeh was said later on. Abi, you're right. If Rashi would say that he took the tzinsenes now and he saved it in his bedroom until the oil maid was built, so fine. Then you'd be right. Then he could see still telling him to take it now. But that's not what it says. Rashi says, Leinemar mikra ze atra nivna oil maid.
Sorry, you
okay, now the... An interesting parasha to look at while we're learning the parasha of the Mon is Parashas Chukas. Because in Parashas Chukas, the Yidden rejected the Mon. The Yidden said that they don't want the Mon anymore.
And the nation spoke about Hashem and about Moshe.
Lama ha'eli sunami Mitzrayim, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Lomos ba midbar, to die in the midbar. Ki ain lechem, there's no bread. Ve ain mayim, and there's no water. What do you mean? There is bread. It's man. Oh, the nafshenu katsa, and our nefesh is disgusted. Be lechem ha kiloikel, in this kiloikel bread. What's kiloikel? So Rashi says in the Mefarshim says lashon of kal. It's very light bread. What does that mean? It's very light bread. Dr. Rashi. Because the mon gets absorbed into the evarim, they never needed to go to the bathroom. There was no waste, there was no psilus in the mon at all. So therefore, kira'uhu kiloikel, it's very easy to digest. Lashon kal, the first one say. Just look at the Eben Ezra over there. It's lashon of kalos, kal. Not a lashon of kilkel, but a lashon of kal. Amru, they said, Osid Hamon Azesha Yitzbach Bimeinu, this man will destroy, it'll explode in our stomachs. Klum Yesh Yelud Isha Shemachnes Veinu Moitzi, they said, how could it be? Is it possible that a human being could eat food and not have to be Moitzi the food? Doesn't make sense. How could such a thing be? That's what they asked. So my question is, okay, I hear their kasha. But why Taka did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the mon such a way? This machnes vein and moitzi. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the mon? Like all food. What's the point of this?
Our stomach is easier for that show than this.
Even if that's true, that it's easier for them, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still chooses which comforts he wants to give for a specific reason. It's not stomach. Let me give them a great time. Oh, I have a cool thing. They won't have to build bathrooms. You know, it's not that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for a specific purpose, catered to the ruchniistic goals that Klal Yisrael needs. And if they would have to have the tirch of being machnas and moitzi, so they get a lot of extra asher yotzer. What's the point of this chesed?
What was their complaint? What was so problematic about the fact?
They thought it was like it's going to eventually it's going to cause major problems.
Why should they?
I think in the Hamshach it'll get a little clearer. I don't know if I'll get it 100%, but we'll get a little clearer. Okay, let's look weiter over there in Parshas Chukas. It says that the Nechashim, Hashem sent snakes to bite them. We'll see why soon. But over there in that Rashi, look in Rashi on that Pasuk, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset that they were kaifer in the man that had it all tamim. You're able to taste every time. This is the most famous thing that we know about the mon. You were able to be time. You were able to taste every time in the mon. You were able to taste every taste.
Even on kosher ones?
We'll talk about that another time. It could be in the Hamshach, that would be kind of clear also.
Serious.
No, there's a tshuva from the Ragged Shop about that. It's not a...
Yeah. Well, you need to know the taste already. Right?
We'll see. Let's see.
Well, how would they know what it tastes like if they never?
So I couldn't resist writing a pun over there. Mao hatam was there.
That tastes like everything?
What's the point? That's also like, Avi would say, it's really fun, so Hashem did it.
Well, if it tastes like
everything... Saves a lot of trips to Chapa, right?
If it tastes like everything, then why do they say this bread? Why is it purchase of bread? This thing, I wouldn't call it bread.
And the main staple of human beings' diet is called lechem. Okay. Now, because Klal Yisrael was kaifer in the month, if you look at those Pesukim and Parshas Chukas, Hashem sent snakes. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yidden started dying, the snakes were biting Yidden and killing them. So Moshe Rabbeinu built a nechash and nechash as a copper snake. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that the purpose of the copper snake pointing up to Shemayim is to get them to realize, to look up to Shemayim, to remember the Rabbeinu Shalom. V'chi nachash meimis, say nachash mechaya, the Mishnah says, does a nachash kill and a nachash bring to life? Ela loyimer shekolzman. I forgot the negative part. Because when they looked at the nachash, they were mistaklim klap v'mayla. U'mishabdim aslibam la'aviyam shabashamayim. They were nisrapim. They became healed. So the nachash is really a trick to get them to look up. I have a better trick. Just make arrow signs pointing up. What's the point of making a snake pointing up? What's the snakes were biting them, somebody should have took a snake and made it point up. What's going on over there? What does it got to do with the month?
The month?
That's what I said.
Well, I thought just snakes were biting them?
Right.
And they were dying?
Right.
So,
Same question, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a morale in Sefer Gvuras Hashem that discusses matzah. And he shoots down the pshatim that we grew up with. He discards them. And he says his own pshat. What the discussion is why matzah is called lechem oini. Oini is lashon of anius. Why is matzah called lechem oini? So he brings, v'ra'isi l'ktsas. I saw some mefarshim, and I think this is Dvarim Yiduim. They wanted to explain that the reason why it's called lechem oini, the lekach nikra oini. The reason why it's called oini is mipnei shehi nemoicha, because it's little, small. Like an oni is like small, not assuming. That's one pshat. He says v'hatam hasheni. The other reason why it's called lechem oini is because matzah is hard to digest. It's kosher lehisako. It's very hard to digest. And that's why we say in the Haggadah, Holach Manya de Acholu Avosana Ba'arad Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. It doesn't mean that they ate the night of Korban Pesach, which is the Pashab Shat. No, it means that the derech of the Mitzrayim was to feed matzah to Klal Yisrael. It's the derech to feed matzah to Avadim so that they shouldn't eat so much, because it takes a long time to digest. So it sits in the stomach for a long time, so it's an ideal thing to feed servants. And since they ate matzah as servants in Mitzrayim, you know, when they were avodim, it's called lechem oini. Anybody heard these pshatim before? Has anybody ever heard this? You never heard these pshatim? You've heard this.
I
think it's in a barber now.
Did they complain later on
to the
fact that
Mitzrayim
we had real meat?
Oh, very good. Zakhtim not meat, and the doga is not meat, but it's whatever, it's good food. V'heim dvarim sheyakhish hakosov v'ho'emes. These words are contradict the psukim and the truth.
He says that about the Barbanel?
Yeah, not by name. Ki loy nimtza b'shom makoyim, we don't find in any place. Loy bakosov, not in the psukim, v'loy b'mishnah, not in the mishnayis, v'loy b'talmud, not in the gemara, sh'amitzrim hayu machilim es Yisrael matzah. There's no makor for such a thing. You don't find such a thing. The Adarabba. It says, "Ocharnu es adoga shenoicha b'mitzrayim chinam," and he brings a whole sefri that says, "Esti,
yeah,
is Chaim on a bed?
Yeah,
not anymore." What? He knows how to get up and down himself, so I'm not. Sounds okay. Okay, that's one kasha. Avi's kasha. Very good, Avi. Good kasha. The Oiden, he asks another kasha. He says, listen to this pasuk. The pasuk says, the Chumash Devarim, it says, Leisoich alal of chametz, Shivas yamim toich alal of matzahs. You should eat matzah for 7 days. Lechem oini, which is lechem oini. Why should you eat lechem oini? So now, according to this pshat, it's because we ate matzah in Mitzrayim. You should eat lechem oini because we ate matzah in Mitzrayim. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says you should eat lechem oini ki b'chipozon yotzasam in Mitzrayim, because you went out of Mitzrayim quickly. So in that connection of the fact that we went out quickly from Mitzrayim has nothing to do with lechem oini. Say eat matzahs because we came out of Mitzrayim quickly. Or say eat lechem oini because we ate it in Mitzrayim. But don't say eat lechem oini because we came out quickly. Ve'im lechem oini nikra al shem shema achilim oisei ha'ani. If lechem oini is called lechem oini because we feed it to an ani, lama amra ha'tayra toicha lalav matzahs lechem oini. You should eat lechem oini because you came, because you are nigal. The exact opposite. If lechem oini is because poor avadim eat this stuff, so don't say I should eat lechem oini because I got out of Mitzrayim. Say eat lechem oini because I was in Mitzrayim. The pasuk doesn't follow. Back tomorrow. Dr. Maral, no, lechem oini has everything to do with coming out of Mitzrayim. It has nothing to do with anios. It has nothing to do with anios. It has nothing to do with being given the food in Mitzrayim. Nothing to do with that stuff. Lechem oini means just like an ani. The more of an ani one is, the more you only have the ani and nothing else. For example, an asher has himself. He has his house and his car and his nechassim, and his estates, and there's him, and there's many other things besides for him that are part of him. His avadim, his behemoths, his kinyanim, many other things that are besides. He's murko, he has many different parts to him. But an ani is just an ani. It's just one person. So to matzah, he says, matzah is just kemach and mayim. Simple. Ani is the lashon of simplicity. Matzah ashira means that other liquids are put in. He says that's because, right, if you know Pesachim, if you know Hilchos Pesach, matzah ashira is that there's other mashkim in. He says because then it's not pashut anymore. Ani is like an ani, just like an ani is pashut. It's just the ani, right, with the clothes on his back, just the ani. And it's not murkav of many things. So to the matzah, which is lechem oini, means that it's just flour and water. He says, if you have sa'or, the tam of chametz, it's noisaf. It's a davar noisaf. Besides for the regular basic flour and water, you have an added thing, that it rose, that there's sa'or in it, that there's chametz. That's already an added thing. That's not lechem oini. It's lechem plus. Matzah is just lechem. That's lechem oini. Okay, that's the shita of the maral. Frek the maral, and this is going to be our question. Ve'ula yikshelecho. Is that something bothering you here?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
It's to Bechipazim, so we love Bechipazim, and therefore is that is the answer to that pasuk?
Oh, we'll need to get to that. That's not what he's going to ask now, but maybe it is part of what he's asking now, but simpler than that. Saif kol saif, lechem oni, means just like an oni. Right? That's what he's saying, Shadis. So saif kol saif, what does that have to do with geula? So we should eat lechem asher, we became asherim. We should eat lechem that kings eat, because we became like kings. Why do we eat lechem that's like an oni when we came out of Mitzrayim? Ula yiksha lecha, maybe you'll ask, ma inyan ha'anius el hacherus? V'haloi shnei hafeichem heim hacherus v'ha'anius. Good question.
Who says complications for b'shmak?
Okay, let's see. Okay. He says two pshatim. I assume we'll get back to it and we'll see one of his pshatim. And finally, to give us a little taste of Pesach, we say in the first thing we say in Magid, try to remember this till Pesach time. The first thing we say in Magid, Holach ma'anyi di'achalu avosana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the lechem oini that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim, and then we invite anyone who wants in. Kol dichven yeisev yeicho, kol ditzrich yeisev yifsach. And then we make a declaration. Hashata hocha, now we are here. Lashana habo ba'ara de Yisrael. Next year, we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata avdei, this year maybe we're servants, we're in Golas. Lashana haba, next year, b'nei chayrin, will be free men. That's a very, very nice declaration. It's very molei bitachan and emuna. But what's it got to do with the fact that we're eating lechem oni? What's the hemshach? It's a separate thing. What's the hemshach? This is lechem oni. Now we're avodim, next year we'll be free. Okay, this is lechem oni, yes, that's to do with Yisrael Mitzrayim. What does it mean now we're slaves, next year we'll be free? What's the connection? It would be so beautiful if we understood some kind of hemshech over here. Again, we're going to continue from last week. I'm going to stay over Bekitzer. We're going to continue from last week. If I wasn't here last week, it could still catch on. But last week and the Chabura before is also, these are all a continuation. Mentioned Sayin the Maisa Ovis, the Sayin of Simon Labanim, that Bayechi was in the Maisa Ovis and Bay was in the Simon Labanim. The concept, the idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing that there's nothing in this world that can hold back HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamaila from every Kayach in the whole world. And by doing it as he takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he's demonstrating, by the Yetzira of Klal Yisrael, by the creation of Klal Yisrael, he's demonstrating that Klal Yisrael is also Lamaila from every single Kayach in the whole world. Klal Yisrael is Lamaila Menateva. We brought the Rishonim that say that Mitzrayim was the strongest nation in the world. the strongest Kayach HaTeva in the world. And Mitzrayim's strength was during Nisan. That's when Mitzrayim was at its strongest. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Dafka then to take the strongest nation at its strongest time and take them out of Mitzrayim to show that Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'mayla Min HaTeva, and that Klal Yisrael, who are the tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's making this Bria, are also L'mayla Min HaTeva, Ein Mazal Yisrael. We said that that's why they shechted Dafka Seh, the sheep, which was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, to show their shlita. We said over a Sefer Hasidim, that's to show their shlita over the Kayach of Mitzrayim. We said that that's why they did Dafka Bris Milah before they ate that Seh, because the Bris Milah is what gives Klal Yisrael the Kayach of Ein Mazal Yisrael. We had the time, maybe when it gets close to Pesach, we'll, if I remember, we'll go back to it. But this Parshas Va'era and Boy are full of many, many more references and remazim to this concept than we had a chance to get to. And Parshas B'Shalach also is full, different Parshas and Parshas B'Shalach, with the Mayim and the Mon and the Mohammed Samalek and the Shira and Kriyas Yamsov, is full of this concept. Full. But we're going to pick one angle and one subject to talk about tonight. How is it that there's no kayach that's stronger than the Rabbeinu Shalom? Now, this could be said in many ways. I'm just going to pick one nusach to say it. How is it that there's no kayach stronger than the Rabbeinu Shalom? The pshat is like this. We say in Aleinu every day, Emes Malkeinu, our king is true, Efes Zulasai, everything besides for Hashem is nothingness. What does that mean? It's not true. There's many things besides for Hashem. There's Goyim and there's Yidden, there's animals and birds, there's a sun and a moon and stars, there's Mazolos and Kechavim. What do we mean, Efes Zulasai, there's nothing besides for Hashem? What does that mean? What that means is that what's motivating, what's empowering, what's driving every single kayach that exists in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Emes Malkeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true, our king is Emes, Efes Zulasi, besides for Hashem there's nothing. I, we see other things besides for Hashem, those are all manifestations of Hashem. We see a kayach of Eish, and a kayach of Mayim, a kayach of Goyim, and a kayach of Yidden, a kayach of Torah, and a Ruchnias, and Gai, all the different kayaches in the world are all manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing else besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses the entire Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. The world is a vast variety of different manifestations of His power. But it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kayach. I'll show you one place going back to Parshas Va'era, I can't hold myself back. I'll show you one place where we see this in Parshas Va'era. I didn't put it on the sheet, but just going back, I spent some time last week going reviewing the different reactions the Pari had to the different Makas. So to some of them, Pari just couldn't care less about. Like Dam, Pari just didn't care. Dever and Shchin, Pari just wasn't moved. Kinim, they were like a little nispal. They said Etzba Elokim, but they also didn't care. Oroiv, Pari said, you can go serve Hashem, but just don't go so far away, which really means he wasn't letting them go. You could serve Hashem, just stay in Mitzrayim. Tzfardeya, and I'm not getting into Arba Choshech HaMakas, because that's a different part. That's Parshas Bo, that's a different level of Makas. Tzfardeya and Borod are two makas where when Pari got the makah, he said, go. Goodbye. So you have to ask yourself, what exists in Tzfardeya and in Borod, Dafka, those two makas, that Pari was despoiled from. Said, go. So I'm not going to go into Tzfardeya, now we don't have time for both. But I'll explain it to you in Barad. The Pshat is because of what we just said. The Barad, the thing that was boiled in Barad is that Eish and Mayim lived together. The Eish mislakachas b'soicha Barad. The Eish was flaming inside the ice of the Barad. That meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, this is what's called Oyser Shalom Bimraimov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to make Shalom between two Koiches that are two opposite Koiches. Eish is a Koich of Hashem, and Mayim is a Koich of Hashem. And even though they're ordinarily Stiras, but since they're both manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so by HaKadosh Baruch Hu they're not a Stira. They're both manifestations of Hashem. And that Nida of Hashem was Nizgala by Makas Barad. So Pari said, go, he couldn't hold them anymore. Once it's Nizgala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Koilo, Kol HaKoiches Kulam, so then there's no Koich that could stand in his way. Pari said, go. When the Makkah went away, Pari promptly forgot about that. But during the Makkah, when this Gili was expressing itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to try to hold me back? Watch, I am in charge. I am equally shaylit over all the koichas in the world. I can take two opposite koichas and make them make shalom. Eish and Mayim together. So Pari says, go. That's one place in Parshas Va'era where we see this concept. This is part of what we mean when we say every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one because there's nothing else besides for Hashem. Before Hashem say, there's nothing besides for Hashem, so Hashem is one. One, koilel everything. One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's koilel everything. Echad. We spoke last week about Achdus Mitzad Klal Yisrael, but now we're talking about Achdus Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything that we said, that there's not a single koyach that could be a threat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pshat is because Hashem is Echad. Because there is no koyach besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's non-existent. Every koyach is a manifestation of Hashem. There is no koyach besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min ha-teva. It's not Hashem against the teva. Hashem is the teva. It was almost like Hashem was telling Pari, Pari, you yourself are me. Your koyach is mine. It's me. You think you're going to stand in my way? That's Hashem Echad. There's nothing else besides for Hashem. There's no koyach besides for Hashem. Hashem is Echad. This is one of the reasons that we mentioned we're Mazgir Yetzias Mitzrayim together with Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And as then we say V'hafta and Voya, and then we're Mazgir Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim was a demonstration of Hashem Echad. Okay, that's Aleph.